Good morning. Thank you, Bill, for that introduction. So I'm very excited to be here today to share with you the opportunities that Enbridge now has to grow our utility operations. So as Al mentioned earlier, the acquisition of Union Gas was one of the best parts of our combination with Spectra and creates one of the largest and most valuable natural gas franchises in North America. So first, Union Gas and Enbridge Gas Distribution are high-valued regulated franchises that together provide a strong platform with exceptional historic returns. Second, we have unparalleled rate-based growth opportunities driven by our location in one of the fastest-growing population centers in North America. Third, our risk, reward, and value we return on investment is very attractive to shareholders. And fourth, our size and experience provide a great platform to realize operating and capital synergies both now and into the future within our gas utilities and then in other future businesses. Our people continue to safely and reliably deliver the energy that heats homes and generates economic growth. The strength of our commitment and our engaged team is that platform that allows us to continue to deliver strong, stable financial results. So over the next decade, we will continue to lead in both growth and risk-weighted returns, delivering exceptional results to investors. So with our footprint, prior to our combination, Enbridge Gas Distribution Utility was like no other, with over 2 million customers in the Greater Toronto Area. Now we've doubled both our footprint in Ontario and our employee base. Our highly valued asset base is underpinned by a regulated, low-risk business model that comes with an incentive framework that has upside. So as the largest gas distribution in Canada and then the third largest in North America, we have an exceptional growth rate that's been driven by adding 50,000 customers each year. So our reach into 3.5 million homes and businesses ensures that we're well positioned for growth both in our traditional markets and new market opportunities as we transition into that lower carbon future. So in addition to these distribution assets, we also have strong transmission and storage business that supports Ontario, Quebec, and the U.S. Northeast markets. Future streamlining of our combined operations will ensure that we will be worth more together than apart. So it's like real estate. It's all about location, location, location. The GTA area continues to have one of the fastest growth rates in North America. The GTA population is forecast to increase by almost 2.9 million from our 2016 population level, so about 42% to reach 9.6 million by 2041. And that's according to the Ontario Ministry of Finance. Recently, we've seen increased demand for customer connections in communities that are just outside of the GTA. So that's Hamilton, Kitchener-Waterloo, and Barrie, as we see retirees cashing in on the current housing prices and then relocating to these bedroom communities, and others are accepting those longer commutes. The growth in population will generate forecasted strong housing starts in Ontario, providing continued rate-based growth supported by customer additions. So as you can see from this chart, natural gas is and will continue to be an extremely cost-effective source of energy in Ontario at about 35 to 40% of the cost of alternatives, even including carbon prices. Demand has been and is predicted to remain strong even in a carbon-constrained economy. The Dawn Hub provides access to reliable and cost-effective supplies of gas from all over North America. Include the basins of the Utica, Marcellus, Western Canada Supply, and the Mid-Continent markets. So as I just mentioned, the Dawn Hub is a critical and strategic asset to both Enbridge and Ontario. It's connected to all the major supply basins in North America. It's the second most liquid and physically traded hub in North America. The Enbridge storage capacity at 276 BCF is the fourth largest in North America, and that includes both our regulated and non-regulated storage. About 30% of our storage is unregulated. So Dawn is connected to approximately 8 BCF per day of supply from diverse basins through those pipeline interconnections with Vector, Panhandle Eastern, and TCPL. And in the near future, Dawn will be connected to Marcellus and Utica supplies through pipeline expansions related to Rover and Nexus, which will continue to increase the value of Dawn as the preeminent hub in the East. Our pipeline corridor from Dawn to the GTA is truly a jewel. So the 8 BCF a day system connections at Dawn ties into the GTA and other downstream consuming markets with the top population growth areas in North America. And this will ensure that this exceptional corridor is positioned for strong future growth. And we've undertaken an extensive build-out of the Dawn Parkway transmission system, over $1 billion in the last few years, to support increased demand and customers' desires to restructure their long-haul transportation contracts with short-haul from Dawn. So in 2017, the Dawn Parkway expansion, $640 million, and that's expected to be in service by the end of this year. We continue to support the expanding commercial markets south of Dawn through our Panhandle Transmission Reinforcement Project in 2017. So over the next decade, the future does look very good for the long-term expansions of both the Dawn Storage Hub and the Dawn to Parkway Corridor. Looking forward, we anticipate that our annual capital deployment for maintenance and expansion will continue to be in that $1 billion-plus range as we support that continued strong growth in our regulated operations through those robust customer additions and capitalizing on the various diversification opportunities. We will continue to assess transmission and storage projects to support the Dawn market and downstream consuming markets. As noted earlier, that extensive enfranchised growth could drive the next phase of the Dawn Hub and Dawn to Parkway Corridor expansions in the longer term. Both utilities are in the middle of an Ontario Energy Board submissions for community expansion into new markets, partially supported by a $100 million grant program offered by the Ontario government to assist into access to more remote areas, including a number of Aboriginal communities, and our total CapEx is in the range of $500 million. Building on our current footprint and expertise, there are various opportunities to have significantly more natural gas to support urban transportation systems, like natural gas buses and garbage trucks, and then compressed natural gas for the heavy haul transportation in Ontario, which is both lower cost and lower carbon emissions. We continue to work with many municipalities and commercial operations to expand the generation and capture of renewable natural gas associated with landfills, biogas, etc. And we're also exploring other opportunities, including behind-the-meter solutions, geothermal loops, hydrogen storage, and blending. So our two utilities have demonstrated very strong and consistent rate-based growth, as noted in this chart, so a 6% CAGR historically. And as I noted before, that population growth in Ontario is expected to drive strong organic growth in that rate base, conservatively in the range of 4-5%. As you can see from these two charts, our regulated assets are very stable, low-risk businesses that deliver strong risk-adjusted returns and are comparable to U.S. utilities. Both Enbridge Gas Distribution and Union Gas are nearing the end of their third 5-year term incentive regulation frameworks. The incentive regulation frameworks in Ontario have allowed both utilities to achieve stable and solid returns. As shown in the slide, we have exceeded the allowed ROE. We continue to follow our track record of delivering stable returns in excess of 10%, and given our low risk and regulated framework, that's quite valuable. We are positioned to continue to deliver growth and strong returns for our low-risk regulated activities in the future, supplemented by strong returns in our non-regulated storage activity, while we're still continuing to deliver exceptional service to our customers. So as I noted, both utilities will finish their current approved incentive regulation frameworks in 2018. And we're exploring options for a new regulatory framework that would create the opportunity to really streamline our operations and deliver efficiencies to both ratepayers and value to our shareholders. Looking at models that have been used within the electric industry in Ontario, which do provide the time necessary to streamline our operations. So together, the utilities will capture capital and cost synergies. And as we explore how each of the utilities operate, we're able to identify best practices that we then can apply across the combined platform. Our combined size allows us now to really leverage our supply chain as the third largest utility in North America and part of Enbridge overall. So our platform continues to provide a very compelling opportunity to acquire and integrate electricity distribution. We provide superior value to shareholders and customers, particularly in areas that have overlapping franchises. So to just summarize, the key takeaways are: what we own and operate today is an extremely strong platform to support organic growth as we continue to provide the gas that heats homes, runs businesses, and transports goods. Our assets deliver strong, predictable returns with low risk, and we will streamline our operations and create value for our ratepayers and shareholders in a balanced regulatory framework. So with that, I am open for questions.
I'm going to ask this question as a financial analyst, not as a happy Enbridge Gas Distribution customer.
You're happy,
an Ontario taxpayer. There is an election in Ontario in a year, and as you, as an Ontario resident as well, I think, are more than aware that energy is becoming a very hot-button topic, more so on the electricity side. And we have seen some kind of policy concepts floating around in the past that have not been very constructive on the long-term role that natural gas might play in Ontario. So I'm just wondering, from a long-term franchise perspective, I would assume that you're all over this and see a long-term role for natural gas in the province, but how can we think of the long-term outlook for Enbridge, not just from a gas distribution, not just from a policy perspective, but also when we look at disruptive technologies on the battery storage side, on electricity, that I know you've been involved with as well. So maybe we can just kind of look out a decade or two and see how you're thinking on that these days.
Thank you for the question. I first joined the utility a year ago when the long-term climate change action plan was issued in Ontario. And we've had lots of great discussions with various ministries in Ontario about the role that natural gas can play in that lower carbon future. So there's a couple of things that I think we're very clear on, is that there is no there's no path that would eliminate natural gas from home heating in Ontario in the foreseeable future. Right now, peak supply days, just a quick example, peak supply day for heating in the winter, we've seen about the equivalent 80,000 megawatts. That's kind of our peak heating. The electrical load peaks out. The biggest peak they've seen in the last 10 years is about 30,000 megawatts. So there's just no capacity there to switch to that electrical heating. And we have been able to demonstrate that there is a path for natural gas to play in that lower carbon footprint in the future. So, for example, there are very significant emissions in Ontario associated with the heavy haul trucking. And right now there's not an electric solution for that. So if you switch to, as I noted earlier, to compressed natural gas, you can reduce your carbon emissions up to 20%. That has a material impact and will allow the Ontario government to more readily switch and to meet their cap and trade, or sorry, their carbon emission reduction targets in 2030 and 2050. There's also opportunities on the demand side that the best opportunity is to really look at how you most efficiently use both electric and gas together. And so we're doing a lot of work right now with various municipalities, some of the electrics, to try and figure out how to do that to actually reduce the carbon footprints. But it comes down to both the storage capacity and the cost. Right now, our cost is about 35 cents compared to the 15 cents for power. So there just is no short-term path to get there. So we've been doing a lot of work, a lot of discussions. I think that that's a great opportunity for us. We're looking at it as an opportunity for how can we help reduce carbon emissions. So we're very active in renewable natural gas, in hydrogen storage, using hydrogen for transportation, all sorts of things. So we're looking at it more as an opportunity. Yes.
One last quick one here at the back here.
Yes, Rob Hope, Scotia. Just in terms of capital allocation, just want to look at the valuations that we're seeing for gas distribution utilities in the U.S. and some M&A multiples there. Could we potentially see an Enbridge Gas Distribution / Union Gas standalone publicly traded vehicle floated at some point?
Well, I think that would be fun for me. Right now, it would depend on the multiples and what the future path is. It's something that we continue to look at. Would there be a great return for us to do that? Does it make sense to do? So I wouldn't say we'd never do it. I don't think it's something that we're positioned to do in the short term, but it's something that we continue to look at. What's the best way to provide that value to our shareholders? All right. With that, thank you very much, and I'll pass it on now to Guy Jarvis, who is our EVP for Liquids Pipelines.